Welcome to the second half hour of the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen. In this segment, I'll be talking with Ted Silver. Ted, a veteran of radio, both in commercial and also in community for our community station, CJMQ. He does an oldies show on Saturday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and he also is the voice and the producer for all the health reports during the weekdays. So Ted will talk about his passion for radio and where it has taken him. I'll also have some health news, and we'll start off the second half of the show today with a song called Time of the Season by the Zombies. That's an oldie. And after that, we'll hear the interview with Ted Silver, so please stay tuned.
It's the time of the season. Love runs high, and this time, give it to me easy, and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in the sun to promised lands, to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for love. What's your name?
What's your name?
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Is he rich? Is he rich like me? Has he taken?
Has he taken
any time?
Any time to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
What's your name?
What's your name?
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Is he rich? Is he rich like me? Has he taken?
Has he taken
any time?
Any time to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
Teasdale for the Cube, and today I'm very pleased to welcome Ted Silver to the Townships at 12. So welcome, Ted.
Hi.
Now, Ted, you're a volunteer for CJMQ. You do a hit oldies show on Saturday night from 8 to 10, and you're also the producer and the voice for all the health reports we hear every day. You have a lot to do with CJMQ, and you have throughout the years, and you're also working full-time, I think, at your radio station in Ottawa?
Yes, absolutely.
And also, you have a company where you do voice messages. I don't know what you call your company, but I think a lot of people call, for instance, the License Bureau, whatever, and they get you and they get put on hold.
You know, it's funny because I'm on I'm on the radio here. I'm on the radio in Sherbrooke and sometimes a few other places. But the most I ever hear from anybody is, was that you on the telephone? Because I do CAA, I do, if you call CAA anywhere in Quebec, because you have a flat tire, you're going to get me. There are various other businesses that I do, most of them are in Quebec, some of them are in other places. But yeah, and I've been doing that for a very, very long time these days. You asked me the name of the company, there is no name, it's just me. I tell you, my favorite time is Saturday night on CJMQ, because then I get to do what I like to do. And so for me, it's always the one radio show that I really look forward to.
No, oh, that's great. We love to hear you on too. How did you become interested in radio, and did you ever think that this was something that you would make your entire working career from?
Okay, so that's, I was 12 years old. I was in the sixth grade. I grew up in Montreal. And our class, we were doing a project about newspapers. We were learning to look through newspapers for, you know, news. They invited us down to CSCF Channel 12 to have us on a TV show. So we went down there on a Saturday, and we taped the show. It was Saturday afternoon. Then after that, I don't know if you remember, some of our listeners may remember a show called Like Young on Channel 12, where they played, you know, rock and roll records and that kind of thing, sort of like American Bandstand. They told us after we had done the taping of the show, we could stay and watch them do Like Young. So we sat in the audience. I'm sitting there. They're playing rock and roll records, and there's lights and there's cameras and there's dancing and there's action. And I said, wow, I like this. So I rushed home, told my friend Michael that we had to start a radio station. So we did. And we had a little pirate radio station for many years, from the age of 12 right through high school and the whole bit, playing our Beatle records and stuff, you know, to the neighborhood. The station went a couple of blocks. And so that's how I got started. And at that, from that point, this is all I wanted to do. You know, started to plan to go ahead and do that. But back then, they didn't really have any kind of accredited courses to teach people. They didn't have community radio stations where you could get any kind of experience. I was looking around. I found a place called, it was a radio school, but it was, it was like a correspondence course, and they would send you stuff that you would practice being a radio announcer. They'd send you scripts for commercials and that kind of thing. And once a week, we would go to a local radio station, CSCF Radio, and we had an instructor, and his name was Keith Randall, and he was an announcer on CSCF Radio, but he did this part-time. So Keith Randall was doing the course, and there were five of us in the class, three other guys, myself and my twin brother, Tom. Anyway, at one point, Keith Randall knew somebody in Quebec City who wanted to hire an announcer, and it had to be, you know, there wasn't a lot of money and everything, so somebody who was just starting out. And Keith Randall, of those five, had only two of us that he thought had any kind of opportunity to do anything in radio, and so he sent me. And so I started in radio because of Keith. He was my first mentor. I went to Quebec City because of his connections, often who you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
About 20 years later, when I was working in Montreal, I was the program director of CFQR, Q92, which is now called The Beat. But at that time, we had an AM station, and I shared an office with the program director of the AM station. They hired a new program director, and that was Keith Randall, the guy who gave me my start many years, 20 years before. That was it. But yeah, he's the guy that sort of like really started it off for me, and never looked back after that.
Okay, so that's how you got into radio. Now, you have a lot of experience with a lot of different radio stations. Would you like to talk about that?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I started at Quebec City at it's a little station called CFOM. And about a year or so into it, we had what we would like to call a, kind of a mutiny on the Bounty. And because we were all young guys, I was 21. All the other guys around the same age. And we decided that what the radio station was doing wasn't going anywhere. So we banded together and conspired to turn it into a top 40 radio station. The owner of the radio station was right on board with it. So that's what we did. So I was in Quebec City about 3.5 or 4 years. And then our general manager, Dave Atkinson, got a new job. CKTS.
Okay.
And he had been hired by the company that owned CKTS in Sherbrooke to do the same thing we were doing in Quebec City. David brought myself, Sandy Davis, who some people may remember, he was at CKTS for a while, and Isaac Shane with him to Sherbrooke. And that's how you got stuck with me. That's where it started, in Sherbrooke. And that was in 1975. You know, you asked, like, did you think that you would have a long career doing? Not really. I didn't think of it then. I mean, it's all I ever wanted to do, but I wasn't really thinking in terms of, you know, do this till I retire sort of thing. But that's kind of how it worked out. And when I first came to Sherbrooke, I thought, well, I might be here a year or two, but then I'm going to move on, because that's kind of the way it works in radio. And I was there about 16 or 17 years.
Oh,
I kind of liked it. Yeah, it started in August 75 and 16 years or something like that. And then I went on to Montreal to CFQR, Q92. There were a few other stops along the way that nobody would care about. And then about 15 or 16 years ago, in 2007, I came to where I am now, which is in Ottawa. So I've been here. I would say I was at CKTS longer than I was here. Although I tend to stay around, I was a Q92 CFQR for 15 years, I think. CKTS about 16 years, about the same, a little bit less in Ottawa. But you know which station I've been involved with the longest? CJMQ.
Really? Okay.
I don't remember the exact year, but it was the early 2000s. And it was before I came to Ottawa. So, and I'm going to say, so at least 20 years. So you've been stuck with me the longest.
Yeah, that seems about right. Yeah, 2002 or 2003.
I know I've said this to you before and to David, you know, for the listeners who are listening, why am I with CJMQ? Why has, you know, and especially as long as it happened? You know, I've always had a special connection to the townships. And I've also always, like, CKTS was very special to me as well. And that went away. And then you and David brought the radio station back for the English community. And I always have said this, and I believe it. It's the new life of CKTS. It's a continuation of something that the community needs. And you've been doing this, and I know it hasn't been easy, but you've been doing this for how long? More than 20 years, right?
Oh, yeah, at least 20, I would say.
I just look at it as you guys picked up the torch and started to run. And it's really a continuation of the same thing. And that's why I'm very happy to be a part of it.
Oh, we're certainly happy to have you too.
Okay.
Anything else you're attracted to about the townships? You said it's always a special place in your heart.
I just like the area. You know, when I drive to the townships, I feel like when I get past Granby and then I can see Mount Orford, I feel like I'm home. You know, I spent a lot of time there. I made a lot of good friends, some of them radio friends and some of them other people who were not in the radio business. I had an excellent time there. That's where my son was born. You know, when you feel about a place like that, that feels like home, that's what it is to me.
You've worked at a commercial radio stations and you also volunteer for us at a community station. Now, other than money, what are the big differences between the two?
You know what? I thought about that, and there are some differences, but there are so many similarities, because basically a community station like CJMQ is in the same business that a commercial station is in. And that's to serve the community, to give them information, and to entertain them. That's what you do. And that's what we do. The only difference, though, really is the money. But there's something else that you do that we don't do. And that's, you give people the opportunity. You've had volunteers through the years who can come in, try their hand at doing radio with your guidance, of course, and see if they like it, see if they're any good at it, and that sort of thing. And I know that a number of people first got the taste of radio at CJMQ, and that's the role of a community station. That's not the role of a commercial station like ours. So if they'd had a community station when I was starting out, boy, I'd have been there 28 hours a day. And so that's what you do. And it's a very important thing in terms of developing people and giving people an opportunity to try their hand at it. I'm going to mention one person who I knew very, very well. So did you, who started out with you, who didn't know in the beginning, never even thought about radio. She heard Sylvia Ashbold, she heard an ad on CJMQ asking for volunteers. She thought, or I think it was like to introduce records or something. And it was like, she thought, well, I'll try it. And that was the very beginning. And as you know, she came into the station and you gave her the opportunity to do a lot of different. So she did all of that stuff. You gave her that opportunity, and then she took that and she went on and actually ended up working with us here in Ottawa for quite a number of years. And I know there are other people who could tell a similar story who came through CJMQ. That's an invaluable service that you do. And that's really the big difference. And I think that's really important. That's what you guys do. And that's really important, as well as the service to the local community. And that's really important, because service to the community 24 hours a day, that's what you do.
Tell us about some interesting people you met along the way in your career.
You see, that's a really tough question, because, and I'm sure you'll be shocked, I never really have. I've met a few people here and there, you know, singers, but really, because my role has never been like to interview them or do that kind of thing. It's always usually been behind the scenes, trying to think of anybody I can dazzle you with a name. Randy Travis, country singer, back many years ago, I met him and interviewed him. Andy Kim. I can't think of anybody, really. I've seen a lot of concerts and gone to a lot of shows and seen, you know, Paul McCartney and the Rolling Stones and Tina Turner and all of that stuff. But actually met them? No. Radio is changing. It's going through dramatic change, not just radio, but television, newspapers, media. And that's because of the computer. That's because of the internet. And so people have other ways to get their entertainment and to get their information. The biggest challenge isn't so much that, but when you have that, you also have other platforms where people can spend their money to advertise. And community radio is, yeah, you do have advertising, but you're not in the advertising business per se. Commercial radio is. Our business is advertising, and we put programming together to be able to attract an audience and attract advertising. So that's changing a lot. And so when you see in the news these days, you know, Bell recently did a bunch of cuts, other big companies have in the past, and they will in the future. It's because they're not making the money they used to make. And so they start cutting. That having been said, radio has been through transitions in the past. When television came, that totally changed radio, because radio was doing what television started to do, sitcoms and concerts and stuff like that. Well, radio was doing that before. So it became something else. It became a medium that you use to hear your favorite records, to get the local news and do all of that, and it's done fine. Radio still has a very large audience. It's the most listened to media. Still, because it's free and it's easy to get. It's in your car, it's on your radio in your kitchen. And so I think it's always going to be there. I think what's going to happen is it may transition to some other, just as AM used to be dominant, now FM is, it will transition to something else, and that'll be online, like smart speakers. And so I think that will become more of the future, which is good news in a way, because then you don't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on transmitters and broadcast lines and all the other stuff that goes with it. And it's also good news because it's easily accessible. The real challenge to radio is the younger people who never got the radio habit like we did. And so they do listen online, and they listen to Spotify, and they create their own playlists, and they do that. So that will change what radio does, because I know you do the music programming at CJMQ, and you do a really good job, and it's a difficult job, because you have to kind of try and cover a lot of bases, different styles and tastes. I don't have to do that on my Ottawa station, but you do, because you're a community station. It's not an easy job to do. I think music is probably at one point going to be a thing of the past for radio, but people will use it for local communication, which these big companies and the internet can't do. So local radio will be more important, even more important than it is now, for that reason, to keep connected to the community. And so I think that's what the future is. I think you're probably closer to it than we are in commercial radio, and I think that's good.
Okay, that's interesting. Do you have any plans to retire? And if you did, what would you do?
I would do this. This is what I do. I was doing it when I was 12 years old and I wasn't being paid. Now I do it, you know, it's my job. But I don't do it so much at this point because of the money, although I like the money. I mean, I'm not going to lie, right? But I do it because I love it. And it's never been a job to me. But I continue to do it. And I like doing it. I think I'm reasonably good at it. So as long as somebody wants to hire me and I feel like doing it, I will. If I get up tomorrow and decide I've had it, then I've had it. But I'm not there yet. And I don't think I ever will be. And if I do retire, then I'll be around CJMQ even more often.
That's good. I can understand what you mean. Yeah.
I don't have any plans to retire anytime soon, but who knows?
Anything else you'd like to add? Anything we didn't cover that you'd like to say?
No, I just want to thank you and David for giving me the opportunity to have this connection to the townships and to be a part of CJMQ. As I said earlier, it's the best part of my week, and I really appreciate that. And I know that not only myself, all of us, that's why we do it. We love doing it, and we love being on CJMQ.
Oh, we love having you. Well, thanks very much, Ted, and all the best to you.
Thank you. Best of luck to you and David and the radio station, and hi to everybody in the township.
It's happened once before when I came to your door. No reply. They said it wasn't you, but I saw you peep through your window. I saw the light. You saw me as I looked up to see your face. I tried to telephone, they said you were not home. That's a lie. Cause I know where you've been, and I saw you walking your door. If I were you, I'd realize that I love you more than any other guy. And I'll forgive the lies that I heard before. You said you were not home. That's a lie. Cause I know where you've been. I saw you walking your door.
We just heard from the Beatles, and the song is called No Reply. You're listening to the Townships at 12 here on the Cube, 88.9 FM. And next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. Comfort minus the caffeine. While drinks made from dried herbs, spices, flowers, roots, and fruit are not technically teas, considered herbals, or infusions, they don't contain caffeine. They have health benefits of their own. Rooibos tea, also known as red tea, is widely loved for its naturally sweet and nutty flavor, as well as its anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties. Mint, ginger, chamomile, and hibiscus also contain antioxidants and have other soothing benefits like fighting nausea and inducing calmness. And since they don't keep you up at night, they're perfect for making a soothing bedtime brew. And that health news today was brought to us from Prevention Magazine, the March 2024 issue. I just wanted to announce something about the Township's Young Voices competition closing on February 29th. Now, there is very little time to enter the township's Young Voices competition. It's open to people ages 11 to 29 who live in the Eastern Townships. 15 prizes totaling $3,000 are available to be won in the categories of art, photography, poetry, fiction, and nonfiction writing. Winning pieces will be published in a special edition of the Township Sun magazine, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. The deadline to enter the Township's Young Voices competition is February 29, 2024. For more information or to enter, townshipsun.ca/townships-young-voices. And next up, we have some news from News Canada. Tips for safely flying a drone. More Canadians are flying drones for work or as a hobby. Whether you're a seasoned drone pilot or it's your first time operating one, there are some important steps you should take before each flight. First, know that Transport Canada requires anyone flying a drone that weighs between 250 grams and 25 kilograms to go online to register their drone and pass a pilot certification exam. Make sure you mark the drone with your registration number and carry your proof of registration, pilot certificate, and the drone's operating manual whenever operating your drone. So that's important information for the people out there who have drones. And I'd like to thank my guest today, Christian Collins from the Lennoxville Library, and Ted Silver, well-known radio personality and host of the Hit Oldies here on Saturday night from 8 to 10, and also the producer and the voice for the health reports here, heard every weekday on CJMQ. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day, everybody. We'll finish off the show today with another oldie, the Rolling Stones' Honky Tonk Women.
Gin song.